Alrighty, welcome guys. This is week 11 of 16 of the KZPT Audio off-season cut. Thank you for joining me once again. I hope you're listening or watching on Spotify or YouTube so you can get the visuals that I'm going to be using here. Look, we're actually in a pretty good spot this week in comparison to the last few where the weights just have sort of been just going up and down, up and down. I am today, this morning, at 88.7, which is on par with the lowest I've been throughout this journey now. As we know, starting at around 91, so not a lot of weight loss down, but body fat percentage is down by 1% and weight is down for this week, down by 1.3. Started on this Monday at 90 kilos, so starting to drop, but this is what I noticed last time. I noticed that as soon as I get to around this 88 mark, this is where I find my sticking point is, and the hunger has been real. The second that I sort of get closer to that point, my body just starts to crave food a little bit more, you know, like I'm sitting here and, you know, like I'm opening up the fridge, closing it, looking around. And that's just happening like pretty much all day. So it's taking a little bit more self-restraint at this moment to keep it a little bit tighter. And I'm really hoping that I'm going to break through this plateau of 88.7, which was the same as last time, and hopefully push through it. And what I normally find happens after that is that, like, once your weight goes past that point where it's been stagnating, you normally get like a good couple of weeks of dropping. So we're on track at the moment. I'm looking to finish off these next 5 weeks. If I can get to around that 85-ish kilo mark, so about another 3 to 4 kilo drop, I think I'm going to be really happy, and I'll be quite happy with also how my physique sort of turns out at that. It's not quite the end goal, but as I said, you know, as I've been going through this journey over the last, you know, two-ish, three-ish months, the want and the ability to like really sit down and go, that's it, fat loss is the only goal, and is hard. You know, what tends to happen to me is like, you know, I'll drop a few kilos and then I'll start to look at myself and I'm like, oh, I'm looking a little small. I'm looking a little flat. I kind of want to, you know, maybe I need to bulk up and, you know, like bring the carbs back in and, you know, like fill the muscles back out again. And then I'll do that for like 2 or 3 weeks. And then like, I start looking at myself again. It's like, yeah, you're looking fluffy. You need to cut back. And then, so it's just this constant back and forth between the two. So I'm thinking of, instead of pushing all the way down to around that 80 to 81, 82 mark, where, you know, I've always said like feels my best, you know, we'll pull back a little bit and, you know, finish up at around that 85 and then reassess, you know, and decide where we want to go from there. So it's still going to take a little bit of time. You know, I'm taking this slower than most. You know, physique athletes would just laugh at me at how slow this is going and how just unplanned and untracked this whole journey has been. It's not your typical diet, and it's not your typical sort of fat loss plan, and is definitely not the most optimal. I've got clients that are outbeating me at this point, you know, at their rate of loss and how they're looking in their progress. They're doing way better than I am because they're tracking better than I am, right? So there will definitely, I know for a fact, there's going to be a point in time, I'm going to sort of get to that point where that's going to be a must, and I'm going to be on MyFitnessPal every day and scanning every barcode and getting the scales out at every meal. That's inevitable, right? To get a really, really nice looking physique and to really change how you look, that's what it takes, right? But as I've said all throughout this, that's not what this first part of the journey has been about. This is like phase one of about a 5-phase journey for me of, all right, learn how to control some of these instinctual things that's happening to me. I need to be able to control my appetite without having to eat out of a Tupperware container. I need to be able to keep consistent with my training through injuries, through everything, and, you know, like find that love for training, you know, that got a little bit muddled up during the COVID lockdowns, where I just felt very weird about all of, you know, fitness in general, and, you know, like really had to make some changes to my life. So that's pretty much where I'm at the moment, looking good. And I reckon next week we're going to have a little bit of a celebration for the new low in drop. You know, I'm calling it now. I'm saying in front of everybody, that's what's going to happen for next week. Now, what I wanted to do today was, I guess I actually wanted to help and give a bit more context to some of the training philosophies and the nutrition philosophies, you know, that are floating around, and I guess how to sort of structure, because as I've said before, you know, I look at training and, you know, changing your body and, you know, like following a fitness journey in any way as just a big checklist and being able to tick off the right things, and just, you know, really working out exactly what you need to work out throughout it all. And so I've actually got a couple of diagrams here that I'm going to chuck up in a minute. They're from an incredible dude, Eric Helms. He is a PhD, works over at New Zealand in the US, goes a little bit back and forth. He's been in the fitness research industry for quite a long time. He's virtually a doctor in all of this stuff. And the stuff that he comes up with is incredible. And the thing that's very different with Eric Helms in comparison to, you know, your average trainer or your average coach is, number one, he knows the science. He's taken people into a lab and looked at the data and studied the data and collected all of this. And a lot of fitness researchers, that's where they stop, right? They collect the data and then they throw out a report and it's like, this is what we found. And I don't think that's always helpful, because, you know, in most cases, when it comes, especially when it comes to nutrition research studies, it's all happening in a vacuum, right? The only way to really know what's going on is if you put, you know, if you're controlling every aspect of their life, right? So to do a really thorough fitness research paper, right? What you need to do is that you need to basically take 20, 30, 50, 100 people, right? You need to take them away from their homes. You need to take them out of, you know, society, basically. And you need to give them their meals every single day, right? You need to give them exactly, you need to calculate on the backside exactly how much calories they're meant to be on. Then you need to give them a training plan where you have a coach literally standing there and making sure that they adhere to all the different things, the tempo, the volume, the intensity, everything like that. So you need to do all of this, so it costs a lot. It takes a lot of people, a lot of time, and a lot of people's time, not just the researchers. Everybody has to be involved in this. And so even if you do get to the point where you are able to do that, then what happens is, as soon as you go back to normal life, it, you know, how much of that is actually replicable, and how much can you actually do again, and how much can you recreate in your normal social lives? So that is most fitness researchers, and this is the thing that I really like about Eric Helms, right? It's that he'll take all this data and then he actually looks at it in the eyes of a bodybuilder, in the eyes of a powerlifter, in the eyes of, you know, a normal human being just trying to lose body fat. And he's very good at depicting which things are important and which things, you know, like a way to get you optimal but not necessarily important for the day-to-day. So here we go. So what we have here is from one of Eric Helms's books, The Muscle and Strength Pyramids, and this is sort of like a hierarchy of things that are important to building muscle. This one's from a training perspective. So there's two that we're going to go through today, which is, you know, one which is looking at the training and the actual, you know, weight lifting, resistance training that you have to do to change your body. And then we also have a nutrition one, which we'll be able to go through. So if we look at it here, we've got about six things that we are looking at as far as that we need to follow, okay? The most important one down the bottom, number one, is, of course, the thing that I talk about all the time, adherence, right? I've read this book cover to cover, and it's a great book. And the thing that I loved that he put this first, I know how important this is, because I work with people who, you know, struggle with this. They struggle to stick to something for a long period of time. You struggle to sort of stay on weight training and, you know, like stay on this journey for 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, you know, and stay in it long term and find that real passion for it, I guess, right? So a lot of other coaches and a lot of trainers would not even tend to look at adherence, right? Especially if it's coming from a physique athlete point of view. You know, when you're talking to bodybuilders and stuff, adherence is just, that's a given, right? They don't even look at that. But Eric Helms puts this in at the most important part of getting muscle and getting stronger, right? What this means is before you look at what exercises you're doing, before you look at adding weight to the bar, before you look at how long you should rest in between a workout, you know, all of these things that, you know, are still important to training, don't, they sit on the foundation of adherence. Okay, so you should only really be asking these questions. It's not that you shouldn't be asking these questions, but they're quite irrelevant above this if you haven't got a solid foundation of being able to adhere to an exercise program. So that to me doesn't matter whether it's a 2-day program, doesn't matter whether it's a 3-day program, doesn't matter whether it's a 7-day program. You find something that you want to do, you find something that works for you, and then you're able to stick to it, right? If we can't stick to it, nothing else matters, okay? So adherence, number one. Once we have that, once we are able to, you know, get into the gym, do some training of any kind, whether it's cardio, whether it's weight training, then we have to look at volume, intensity, and frequency. So let's break those down for a second for everyone who's not 100%, and you know, they're all intertwined a little bit, and that's why they're all on the same pyramid. So we have volume, which is, think of it as literally the total amount of weight that you lift in a weight training session, right? Or in any other form of training, but let's talk about weights for a second. So let's look at, say, 3 sets of 10 on a barbell bench press, okay? Very simple. Now, let's say I can do 50 kilos for 10 reps. Now I'm doing 50 kilos for one rep, 50 kilos for two, 50 for three, 50 for four, all the way through. So in one set of a 50 kilo bench press for 10 reps, I'm lifting 500 kilos, okay? That's basic maths. So you've got 500 kilos per set, and then you do 3 sets. That's 1500 kilos, or 1.5 tons essentially, that you're lifting in one set of bench press. So this is important to think about, right? Because essentially what a lot of people have looked at is when it comes to hypertrophy and when it comes to actually building muscle, there's a big correlation between like how much total weight you're lifting in a session. And ideally that should be going up. So you should be able to lift more, so, you know, more weight in more sets or more reps or whatever as you go on and as you train. If you can't and you struggle and you find that, you know, your workouts look the exact same for, you know, years on end or months on end, you know, for example, I had a guy where I used to work, I won't say where it was, but I had a guy there who would come in every day. So I worked there Tuesday nights, and he would come in and start doing his session, and he would train. It was funny because I was Tuesday nights always, and every Tuesday night it must have been his chest day, right? So I'm sitting at the desk, I'm doing some work, and then he'll come up and he'll be like, oh, can you spot me? I'm like, yeah, of course. We go down to the barbell, and he had 50 kilos, so a 15 kilo plate on both sides on the bench press. And the first time this happened, I was like, yeah, cool. You know, he lifts really hard, you know, he has pretty good form, everything's good, right? And he gets the 10 reps, and you know, I just helped just a tiny bit on, you know, like the last one or two. 90% of the time I didn't even touch it. You know, he was able to complete it. And that happened the first time. And then the week after that, he asked for another spot. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I look at it, 50 kilos again. I was like, okay, cool. He's getting used to that weight. I love it. You know, adherence is the most important thing. And then the third week comes, and the fourth week comes, and the 10th week comes. And I worked there for about 3 years, and I could safely say that this happened almost every time that I worked. He would ask for a spot, and the weight never went up. He never put 2.5 kilos on the bar, and he never put an extra, he never even went for an extra rep, right? It was, he got 10 reps and then he threw it back up on the plates. The thing that happened was he was very consistent. He was there every week, right? But his volume did not increase because he, and you know, I asked him straight out after a little while, and I said, so you've been doing this for a while. How come we're not going up? You know, like, let's chuck a 2.5 on and let's see what happens. And he was adamantly against it. And he said, you know, form is the most important thing. You know, like, I want to make sure that I get this right before I go up any further. Yeah, okay, that's a very, very fair, it's a very fair way of thinking. But at the end of the day, it really depends on what your goal is. If you're looking out there to build some muscle and look toned and change your body, then your body needs something new to adapt to, right? That extra 2.5, yeah, it would be hard. Yeah, you may not even get that full 10 reps, but that moving forward and bringing up that volume is a super important part of changing the physique, okay? So that's volume. Then we have intensity. So intensity usually goes to sort of like, in the session, the total weight that you're lifting per rep, right? So volume's looking at an overall, is looking at an overall vision of the workout, right? So, you know, you do barbell bench, you do chest, machine chest press, you do chest flies, then you do dumbbell bench press, you know, and you pick all of these chest exercises. Volume is looking at how much volume and how much tonnage did you put through your chest, right? So you're looking at an overall weekly or workout standpoint, all right? Intensity goes to, all right, in that bench press, how much can you lift in that rep, right? Is that able to go up? Like I was talking before, this guy that I was, that, you know, used to be where I was working, his intensity just flatlined and it just stayed the exact same all the way through because he wasn't able to bring up the weight that he was doing on that set. So that's another huge important factor, and being able to put more weight on the bar and progress in that way. And then we have frequency as well. So frequency is looking more to how often you train that particular muscle group. Okay, so some people do the particular bro split that you'll normally hear of is you'll do, you know, like chest and tries or chest and buys, then you'll do shoulders and maybe you'll do chest and buys, you'll do back and tries, then you might do some legs and abs, then you might do some shoulders just by themselves, right? So, and looking at something like that, or sometimes even you have a specific arm day. Now, when we break that down, you're doing one muscle group per week, basically. So if you have a specific chest day and then that's it, and then you don't work chest again until the following week, that is your frequency. Your frequency is once a week, okay? Now, optimally, where should we put it? There's a lot, it goes back and forth a little bit. So think of it as a bit more of like a spectrum. So if you're training once per week on chest, what that means is that in that one chest session, you need to be doing somewhere around 12 to 20 sets worth of exercise or worth of, you know, training for your chest, right, in one session. So that's quite a bit. You know, it's basically four exercises of three sets each, or, you know, like, and that's on the very lower end and going all the way up to 20. Now, what tends to happen is obviously, let's say you're going for that 20 sets, so you're doing a huge chest workout, full hour, you finish on the day, and then the next day, super sore, you can feel it all through there, you're like, oh God, and you really need that week to recover. What will happen is somewhere around, like, you know, the 3 to 4 day mark, your chest has recovered, right? And so that during that time, you've been quite anabolic, right? So your body's breaking it down, you're doing the right thing and getting your protein in and doing all your recovery stuff. So 3 to 4 days go past and you've sort of maxed out the amount of anabolic growth that we could get from that one session. Now, from 4 days to the 7 days, so the following 3 days, what tends to happen, it's sometimes there's a bit of crossover, right? Because if you're working shoulders and you do like a high incline press, or you do, you know, like, you know, front raises or something like that, you can still hit them a little bit. So, you know, it's not completely accurate, but after those 4 days and then the next 3 days, you tend to become catabolic, right? So then you're starting to lose a little bit of that progress that you made over the week. So this is where a lot of people have come in and said, so instead of trying to do 20 sets just on the one day, right, and busting your chest and, you know, like, just absolutely killing it, now what you could do is instead is split that up to 10 sets on two separate days of the week, right? And so this is where, like, a lot of you know, like, upper and lower workouts or programs have really come out, where you'll do basically upper body, which means you'll do a couple of chest exercises, a couple of shoulder, a couple of back, maybe a few arms if you've got time, and then the next day you'll do your entire lower body. So you'll do quads, you'll do calves, you do hamstrings, you do glutes, you do, you know, maybe a little bit of abs, and then you do upper again, which will work the same thing, a couple of chest exercises, a couple of back exercises, and you'll throw them all in again, so you're hitting them more frequently. You can't do as much, obviously, when you just completely separate it, but you're going to hit them more frequent as you go. So that's something that you have to consider. And both, I believe, have their place, right? Doing one a days, especially if your intensity is super high And the most important thing, you're adhering to your 4 or 5 day program, which is what's needed to, you know, really get the results from a type of training split like that. Because if you miss a few days, right, let's say you're not super consistent and you're doing a 5 day split, but every week you miss out on one or two of those days, you're gonna miss complete body parts. You're gonna miss parts of your body that, you know, you're gonna miss arms day, or no one ever misses arms day. Most likely for dudes, you're gonna be missing leg day. And for, you know, most females, you wouldn't train, you know, you normally sort of miss the days that you don't really like. So you'd probably miss an arm day or a chest day or something like that, depending on yourself. So that's something to consider as well in there. Volume, intensity, and frequency is basically what's going to make up your whole program. And you should be able to phase in and out of different styles of volume where and intensity and frequency, right? And that's a good way to sort of think about it as well when it comes to changing your program. You know, if you really take a step back and you look at the program that you're on at the moment, work out what is it really working on, right? Is it trying to build up my overall volume? So, you know, is there increasing sets over the weeks, right? So week one, you do 3 sets, and then week two, you do 4 sets, and then week three, you do 5 sets. So you're trying to build up the overall volume over time. Is it the intensity that you're meant to be bringing up? So in your program, you know, is it just always 5 sets by 5 reps, right? And so it just stays the same the whole way through. And then the goal is to build, obviously, the amount of weight that you're doing in each session. So when you come back next week, you're just that little bit stronger and then you can hit it again. Or is it the frequency, right, that you're mucking around with? You know, are you doing a sort of an upper, lower? How much are you actually working on in each individual, you know, muscle? These are all things to sort of take into account. Now, once you've got those things sort of laid out for you, the next thing is progression, right? So once you're at progression, you're sort of deciding there, all right, well, how am I going to make these things better? How am I going to improve volume? How am I going to improve intensity? How am I going to improve frequency, right? How are you going to be able to do these things and actually stack up upon what you've already done? That is the next important thing. So adherence, then volume, intensity, frequency, and then progression, right? Can you actually move up on these exercises? Okay, it's pretty self-explanatory at this point, right? That's what we should all, if we only pick, you know, a few things that we're going to do, let's start with those three. Everything else starts to sort of get like a little bit more nuanced, and you know, you really have to think about, you know, what you're looking for before you start to look at exercise selection, rest periods, and tempo. Okay, so now you've worked out, all right, well, I was able to do 50 kilos on the bench last week. Now I can do 55 a few weeks later, and now the goal's 60. Or, you know, I could only do 3 sets of 10, and now I can do, I was able to get a 4th set of 10 in there, or I was able to just throw in a few extra reps over that week. So over the time, you're progressing, okay? Then on top of that, we have exercise selection, right? So this is where I think a lot of people get stuffed up, especially when they're not following or, you know, training with a coach or someone like that, and you're sort of just doing your own thing. People get really caught up in exercise selection, right? And there's this whole thing of, you know, trying to shock the body, and you know, you're trying to change up each week, and you know, you do what feels right at the time. And I'm very guilty of this. This is something that I do all the time, where like I don't really stick to particular exercises each time. You know, like I just want to walk in and it's like, all right, cool, I'm working chest. And then depending on the gym that I'm at, depending, you know, sometimes I'll go train at a new gym and I just love trying out new exercises and love just looking at the different machines and stuff. Sometimes different machines are placed next to each other, which create like, you know, new supersets that I never would have thought of at another gym. So all of this stuff, you know, does matter. But the most important thing that you're looking at with exercise selection is that you're following the main movements that you need to, right? So I personally believe, and you know, we can talk about this, you know, a lot of people will talk about this. Everyone should be doing some form of push exercise, right? So whether that's a barbell bench press, a dumbbell bench press, a machine chest press, a Smith machine bench press, there's so many of different, you know, a barbell shoulder press standing above your head. I could go on for days, right? I've got a whole list of all the different kinds of push exercises. Then you've got pull exercises, so mainly back and arms and shoulders, you know, seated rows and pull downs and things like this. Then we have a squat, right? Some form of squat, back squat, front squat, Smith machine squat, maybe even a leg press. It follows that similar thing. So, you know, pushing from the legs. Then we have a hip hinge, which is a pull from the legs. So that can be, you know, hamstring curls. That's mainly deadlifts, right? So deadlifts is where most people, that's what a lot of the pulling from the leg exercises would sort of come from. Dumbbell deadlifts, barbell deadlifts, Romanians, sumos, anything like that. And there's all these different ones that we can use. And so sometimes people get stuck on like, oh, well, which ones should I do? Or should I change them up each week? Or should I try and stick to them for 12 months on end? There's no real right answer. And that's where, like, you know, having a coach is very helpful on some of these points, because you can get really stuck in that way of thinking of, you know, needing to change it up all the time. What I suggest to a lot of people, especially the people that are sort of like just trying to fine tweak their own programs and not actually working with me specifically, is stick, you know, change less, bring more intensity. Okay? So change your exercises less often, but get really, really good at those exercises. Okay? Normal time changes, if you're very proficient, I guess, in training and exercising, and you know a lot of these exercises that I'm sort of spitting off right now, then a good sort of time to keep the same exercises is around 4 to 6 weeks, right? Because first week you'll look at it and it's like, yeah, okay, all right, I'm just getting used to this. All right, let's find out what weight I should be lifting and where is the right amount of hard, and, you know, like, do I need to adjust anything or everything like that? So that's usually week one. You're not lifting at your max. Week two, it's like a small progression up, and you can sort of really decide there. That's where it's like, okay, cool, this is the right weight, this feels good. Week three becomes a bit of a struggle. Week three is like, oh, I'm lifting heavier, you know, like, that's usually where a lot of people will hit some of their PBs, and you're sort of like just pushing the envelope on those exercises. And then week four is like, all right, I'm just gonna have to go all out. And that's normally where, you know, like, you put a bit of weight on the bar, but sometimes you don't finish the full set, right? And you're sort of just getting close to that edge, but you're really pushing close to failure. And once you start to feel that, once you start to get, you know, you start to push to failure, where you're not able to complete a full rep of exercise, that's where you sort of, all right, cool, this is where I am. And then you can hold that and push that for maybe an extra 1 to 2 weeks. So you're getting to the fifth and sixth week mark where you're trying to make those weights now your new normal and really trying to solidify that as your new weight range. Okay. So that's why most programs will last somewhere between 4 to 6 weeks, but that's not for everyone. As I said at the start, that's more so for people that understand the exercises and really know exactly what they're talking about. If you start working with someone or you decide it's time for you to work out, and the first thing that you say is, all right, cool, I'm gonna squat. If you haven't been able to progress, right? So let's say the first week, you know, you jump down there and, like, you do it and everything's all bending and you're like, oh, this doesn't feel right. I felt that in my knees and it hurts a little bit. You're going to have so much time to progress through this. So I would suggest to keep some of those bigger lifts and those main lifts for a lot longer if you're not really, really good at those lifts, right? I can jump down into a squat now and, you know, I know the form, I know everything. I know everything. That sounds bad. But I understand what I need to do to get a good squat, right? And so after squatting for about 4 to 6 weeks, I'm kind of over it, right? It's time for a change. My body mentally, you know, like, needs a change from those exercises to feel like I can keep going. And number two, I'm reaching my maximum potential at this current moment. And the only way to push past that potential is to slightly change the movement, right? So I'm still going to keep some form of squat in my program, but instead of going for like a barbell squat with a bar on my back, maybe I change it to a front squat. Maybe I change it to a goblet squat and hold something here and slightly change it so that our body can continue to push through and, you know, find new ways to make it difficult for yourself, essentially. So exercise selection is a funny one because it really depends on what side of the spectrum that you're on. If you have real no idea about a lot of exercises and this is like your first time going through some new lifts, keep them in for a long time, right? Keep doing them week after week for, you know, anywhere up to 12 to 16 weeks. I don't see anything wrong with that as long as you can progress, right? If not changing your exercise selection is stuffing up the pillar below it, progression, then that's a problem. If changing too frequently is stuffing up with your progression, then you need to change it. So make sure that that's happening first and you're able to progress each and every week, or, you know, like consistently, I should say, before you start to change every time that you go into the gym and start, you know, just picking random exercises, you know, out of nowhere. All right. So that's exercise selection there. And then we have rest periods, right? So I have a lot of people ask me, you know, like when they start a program, you know, like, how long should I rest? It's so hard to answer some of those questions because it's so interdependent, right? It depends on what you're trying to achieve from it, right? So let's give out some rule of thumbs and let's give some, you know, context to behind, you know, rest and how long you should rest, because I use anywhere from, you know, 30 to 45 seconds all the way up to 3 to 5 minutes. And it really depends on, number one, the type of exercise, number two, the goal that you're after, and number three, the rep ranges as well, right? Let's say our main goal is fat loss, right? And we don't really care about how much muscle we're putting on. Then what I find is bringing back the rest periods a little bit and making the workouts, you know, flow a little bit better and move a bit faster. So you're resting only between, you know, 30 to 90 seconds max, you know, I find gives really good results, and it gives you a different kind of feeling, I guess, than resting 3 to 5 minutes between a set. However, what this means is if you go lower in the rest, it's going to be a lot harder for you to do some of these other things. So it's going to be harder for you to increase and progress through volume and intensity and frequency, because you get what you get the lactic acid buildup, right? And so you get the burn and the pump. So usually resting a little bit less feels better, right? Because you finish it and you're like, oh, that was a good workout. I feel stuffed, you know, my arms are jacked, everything feels good. So it feels good, but is it the most optimal for hypertrophy? Is it the most optimal for actually building muscle? In most cases, we're looking for a blend of all of the different rest ranges, just like we're looking for a blend of all the different rep ranges, right? So let's say now looking at a different exercise, so we're looking at, let's say, a deadlift, right? And the deadlifts we're doing for 4 to 6 reps. If you're lifting as heavy as you can for 4 to 6 reps, you're going all out with max intensity and, you know, really trying to work out how much you can lift off the floor, I doubt that if I only let you rest for 90 seconds, if I put a stopwatch on right now and then go, all right, we're going again in 90, and then we go to do that same weight again, it's not going to happen. You're going to really struggle to keep it. And if you can do it again in 90 seconds, chances are we probably could have lifted a little bit more in that first set. So you have to understand what you're trying to achieve overall as a goal, but also in that particular exercise, right? So this is how I tend to set up my programs, just for a bit of extra context with myself. So let's say it's a leg day, right? I'll start off with my heavies, right? So I'll walk into the gym, I'll do a little warm up, I'll stretch, I'll foam roll, I'll do whatever I'm gonna do. I'll go straight over to whether it's the barbell squat or a barbell deadlift, right? And I'm working within the 4 to 6 rep range. Okay, this is a good amount where it's very explosive, it's very powerful, that's where I have my most amount of strength, and it's still inching over to the hypertrophy side. So you need around that 4, 5, 6, 8 reps to really sort of make it more hypertrophy based versus like a 1 to 3 reps, which is all about strength. Okay, so that's where I'll always start. And what I'll do is I'll rest somewhere around the 2.5-ish, 3 minute mark before I go again. And that's usually for my squats and my deadlifts. So I'm giving myself plenty of time to bring it all back and, you know, still feel strong. And at that very first part of the workout, you shouldn't necessarily feel too overworked. It should still feel very heavy on the back and you should struggle to get through the reps. But once you lock it back, it's like, all right, cool. I've got a few minutes. And then you sort of just stay sort of like, I like a little bit of active recovery. Sometimes I'll walk around, sometimes I'll just move a little bit, shake my legs even. And then I'm able to complete it again. Now, as the session goes on and as the program keeps going, what I end up doing is I'll start to bring in, say, a leg press or something. So it's still a little bit heavy and I'm working around like the 8 to 10 rep range. And along with, because my reps are higher and I've completed my heavies for the day, I start to shorten that rest period. So now instead of doing 2.5 to 3 minutes, it's looking at around 90-ish seconds because I'm still going heavy and I still need to get through all the reps, but I allow myself to sort of push a little bit harder and bring up the intensity in that session or in that exercise. So I finish my leg press, 3 to 4 sets, 60 seconds to 90 seconds rest, and then I start to move more to the isolation work, right? So when I start doing things like leg extension or leg curl or, you know, other exercises like that, that's when I start to reduce those rest periods, right? So that's when I really start to feel the burn and I really start to, you know, for example, sometimes I'll superset leg extension and I'll do 10 to 15 reps and then I'll go over and do either hamstring curl or I'll do back extension or the glute machine or something like that to complement the two. And between those exercises, it's literally like finish that exercise, walk over to the next one, hit that exercise, walk back, quick drink of water, you know, 15, 20, 30 seconds, and then boom, go again. So obviously in that end part of the session, I'm not gonna be able to keep pushing the weight up, you know, every single time, because that buildup of lactic acid and that burn effect that you feel is going to play a huge role. Now it's going to be a detriment to how much weight you can lift. So you need those first couple of exercises where you can really challenge the intensity, right? The latter part of the workouts tend to be more volume dependent, right? You should be doing your heaviest lifts when you have the most amount of energy. Okay, cool. So rest periods, it's going to vary, it's going to fluctuate as you go, so don't overthink it, but just think about what type of exercise are you doing, what's the rep range that you're doing, and how heavy are you going. Once you work those things out, you can sort of decide where you should be in that rep range mark. All right, now the last one on the top of this, and I've decided we're going to finish up on this one, and then next week I can go through the nutrition ones, all right? Because I don't really talk about weight training and strength training as much as I wish I could, because I love that side of things. But, you know, I tend to just always lean towards the fat loss side because I think that's what a lot of people think that's what they want. But this is just as important. And if you can understand this and get really passionate about the gym, it's so good to keep it. So once you've gone through all of these, the top one is tempo. And tempo is one that I really, I don't necessarily give everybody, you know, like specific tempos I need them to do when they're working out. Even on my programs, right, I see this as, you know, the last, once you're really confident on all exercises and you feel, and you know, like I can say, all right, go over there and give me a shoulder press, your form is good, you know exactly what I'm talking about, all these other things have been met, then to continue progressing and to continue to make it harder, we bring in tempo, right? Now, tempo is a little bit, when you don't understand what it is, it kind of looks funny, right? Because what you'll see is you'll see shoulder press, right? And then you'll just see numbers. You'll just see 3010. And you're looking at it like, what does that mean? So there's four separate parts to tempo. Right, there's the eccentric phase, which is the loading phase, and this is where a lot of people get sort of stuffed up, right? Because the eccentric phase, so once again, we'll talk about a shoulder press. So shoulder press would be starting from here, right? So it's up above your head. Now 3010, so 3 seconds down, which is the loading phase. So 3, 2, 1, you get to there. 0 is how long you pause in this position. So if it's a 0, you don't pause. 1 is the concentric phase, so the leading of the back up. So 1, going straight back up. And then 0 is no pause at the top. So doing a few reps would be 3, 2, 1, up. 3, 2, 1, up. Okay, so that's normal, and that's what I would sort of expect most people to sort of get close to when they're doing tempo without thinking about it, because everybody's has a tempo, but that's sort of where I would give the standard tempo, where it's very controlled on the way down right? And then a bit explosive on the way out and not pausing too much on either side, right? That's usually what I would get people to do. Now, just remember, it depends on the type of exercise you're doing. So if we switch that to something like a lat pull down where we're standing up and the starting phase is here, the eccentric phase is going to be you releasing the weight back up to the top. So you have to be very sure which one that you're doing there. Okay, so if we go through a different tempo, right? So let's do say 2-1-2-2, okay? Which is another relatively popular one, right? So now we're doing a shoulder press again. So you're starting at the top, you've hit here. So 2 seconds down, 1 second pause, 2 seconds up, 2 seconds pause, right? So 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. So you can see straight away that will change the way that your body responds to the workout. And it's a very, very good way, once your form is good, to challenge yourself, because I promise you, trying to control a weight down for 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds versus like just being able to just push them out and just do reps and reps, completely different, right? But as you can see on the pyramid, it's one of the top things. It's one of the like least important things out of all the other stuff. So that's why it's not worth mucking around with too much and just have a controlled tempo and then get sure, make sure that everything else is working and you're adhering to everything. Your volume and intensity and frequency is working. Your progression is there. Your exercise selection is there. Rest periods. Then we look at tempo. And then you can really start to decide, all right, well, how can I sort of shift this? Because as I said, you know, even looking at some of the bigger lifts like deadlifts and squats, imagine trying to do a squat with 7 seconds on the way down, which is something that I went through during my prep, right? Standing up at the top and then trying to control each and every inch of the drop non-stop until you get to the bottom. 7 seconds and then boom, straight up, no rest up the top, and then 7 seconds down again. Your weight and how much you can lift in that is going to be completely different to a standard 2-0-1-0 tempo where it's just down, up, down, up. So that's where things can get really fun. And it's something that, you know, like once I've been working with someone for a while and I feel very confident with their form and everything like that, we start to muck around with that. And then the game just changes, right? And everything just feels different to how you're working out. So that is something that I thought would be very beneficial to everybody. A shout out to Eric Helms, who has no idea who I am and do not get any sort of, kickback or anything like that from this. I just find this super helpful. And it's a book that I read. And I think, you know, understanding some of these principles is a very important part to making sure you can stick in it. Because if you know what is the most important things, then it's easy to stick to. If you don't know the difference between a lot of this different stuff, then when you fall off the wagon, you fall off hard. Whereas you can sort of like pick one or two of these hierarchical things and stay somewhat on point, even if you do drop the ball a little bit. And it's easy to get back on track because you start at the bottom and then you move your way back up. We're gonna do the nutrition one next week, which is super interesting as well, and probably even a little bit more interesting, especially for the people that are looking more so to drop body fat. This is, you know, I still think this is super important to continue in that fat loss phase, but this also really helps the people that are, you know, looking to actually build muscle and build a nice, bigger, stronger, fitter physique as well, which should be a part of your fat loss journey, but that is very more particular to the training, all right? Thank you so much for listening, everybody. If you can, like, subscribe, send me a message on Instagram or YouTube, leave a comment, anything like that, and tell me what you're sort of thinking about at the moment. I would love some more like case studies and some more questions that I can really help people with, all right? Take it easy, guys. I'll speak to you all soon. Bye.